So out on the sign and in your handout, you see the title is Don't Waste Your Rest. And this is the other flavor that went along with last week's when we talked about urgent rest and how to tell when you have to take a rest so you don't burn out. But there's another side to this. It's so important. This is so important that we nail this down. So I have some personal illustrations that I could share, and I might, you know, pop them up here and there, but I'm not going to. We're just going to dive right in. So if you have a handout, or if you look up on the wall there, you'll see, number one, what we rest from are potential building blocks. So we talked last week about the pressure that sometimes we need to get away from. It could be work pressure, relational pressure, it could be financial pressure, it can be a health pressure, things that aren't the way we want them to be, and they just get to a point where we need a break. But the problem, if I can say problem, or the difficulty, the dilemma is that those same things are the things God uses to form our character. That's what I have in parentheses as I started to put this one together. Rest in Jesus for transformation during pressure. So that's like another long title. So we see from James chapter 1, if you're a, you don't even have to be a student of the Bible. If you've been hanging around church for a few years, you've probably heard this. Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. Whew. Just in that first one, we see that the trouble that we sometimes need to rest from can also bring us to a place where we get closer to God and we change our character. He calls out troubles, and I love that he says any kind, because all of the things we talked about last week and all of the particular things that you're thinking about in your life that constitute things you might need a rest from are covered under that banner of troubles of any kind. You might even want to put in the word pressures of any kind. I don't know if we can do that or not, but that could fit. And there's a purpose for those things happening in your life, and in James's case, it's to develop our endurance. We need endurance. And one of the things I used to do with my dad was gather firewood. Back when you didn't get a permit from the state, you just could go on state land to get firewood. And I, like every other thing I have ever done in my young life, so you know it's not now, was I worked like a mad dog until I was tired out, and I lay back, and there's my dad cutting wood, putting it in the trailer or the truck. And he had endurance and learned how to go and go and go and go and get the job done, where I'm the one that wanted to rest because I worked so hard and wasn't smart about it. And when our endurance grows, what kind of promise is this? You will be perfect and complete, needing nothing? We need to pray about that and leave that hanging. That's a whole nother topic and sermon, but I just want you to see that endurance doesn't come without that testing, without that trouble. I moved up, so I lift weights 3 times a week, and I do this gazelle, if you know a gazelle walker machine. I do that 3 times a week, and then Sundays I don't do anything. And I do my gazelle by song, and I reinstituted that after a long lag, so it was 3 songs on my Pandora Christian radio. I have 3 or 4 different Christian radio stations. So the time varies, because some of those worship songs are 7, 8, 9 minutes long, and some of them are 3 or 4 minutes long, but I moved up to the 4th. And my goal is to do 5 songs that gets me in the 20-minute target range to elevate my heart rate and increase my metabolism. That's my goal. But man, when I was doing it yesterday morning and I got to that, the 3rd song was really long, and I'm going, I don't know if I can do a 4th. And I could have stopped and rested, but I pushed through because I know it's going to benefit me and help me be healthier. That's the concept. That's not the only place we find it in the Word, however. Paul in Romans states it this way: not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. and hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us. The progression is there, and I love that Paul used a different word. James used troubles. Paul used sufferings. It's almost like it elevates the pressure. It elevates the impact on us. And when we feel we're suffering, now we're not talking just about Christian persecution. Let's face it, we haven't faced a whole lot of that yet. But we have sufferings of different kinds. And Paul points out not only, so James just makes a leap and a jump or a focus into endurance. So that's kind of covers a bunch of things, endurance in every kind of thing. And Paul picks up some things we need, perseverance and character leading to hope. It's really interesting to me as I just read this and think about it. I want to be a hopeful person. You know there are people who are half glass, glass half full, glass half empty. The glass half fuller tend toward the hope side, and the glass half empty are different. The indication here is that in order for me to understand what hope is and to really enjoy it, is I can't decide to step out away from the suffering at the wrong time, or I won't get hope. Hope is an enduring or an endurance character trait that comes through endurance. I can hope for something, but it's only, so it's sort of like our Christian walk. When we develop this history of God coming through for us, and we have all that to reflect back on, that next crisis, like yesterday when the washer wouldn't spin. Our washer we bought when we moved into this house 4.5 years ago, and I'm thinking, the warranty's off. But Lord, you got this. Let's pray about it, dink around with it, and guess what? Started to spin again. Anyway, that's where hope is developed. But if we decide to take the rest when God is doing the work, what are we going to miss out on? We're going to miss on endurance. We're going to miss out on hope. Not to mention the great joy that comes as a result of staying in it when God is leading you through it. So the asterisk there is rest must be resisted at the proper time. Rest must be resisted. So here's this dynamic. Man, here is our dilemma. It's very real. The very same things. And go ahead and think of the worst you've been through. And the times that you just had to break away. God is also using those times in a right proportion at the right time to do that. To make us more like Him. To develop not just character. I know a lot of characters. Sometimes I'm a character, they say, but Christian character, godly character, a character like Christ. And Peter, another follower of Jesus, reminds us that our energies of pushing through are necessary at the right time when he penned this in his second epistle. Make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. How do we add? Well, we consider troubles an opportunity for great joy because they're helping us grow in endurance. Because our sufferings produce these changes that enable us to add these fruits into our life and these character into our life. So that's really kind of just setting up the dilemma we're in. There are things we need to rest from, but these same things are opportunities for growth at the right time. And of course, guess who determines what the right time is? God determines what that right time is. So number two in your handout is locating the rest. That is, which rest is it? Because it depends. So if we were looking at real estate, and Diana said, man, there's lots of Greenvilles. There's a Greenville, Michigan. There's a Greenville, South Carolina. There's a Greenville. She named off a bunch of them. depending on which one you locate and that you're heading to, you're going to take a different course. It's really important that we can come, and this is kind of the crux of it, the lever. This is kind of the central thing that we wrestle with, that we need to wrestle with. Because once we've determined which side of rest we're called to take, resting from, or if you remember our first week, I talked about several kinds of rest, this is resting in. Once we determine what God might be up to, whether this is a from or an in, it makes our choices easy. Easier, let me put it that way. They're easier once we understand. So how do we do that? Well, first of all, it's not from, which is a separation. The signs of when you need an urgent rest were when your function falls, right? Your production, your ability to input, your ability to, you know, do what God has gifted you to do, when that starts to fall, and your attitude atrophies, inside you start to grumble and complain, and life is all bad, and the work is bad, or the relationship is bad, or the physical thing is bad, and your witness withers, so the attitude is inside and the witness is outside, and people start to see you start acting like a jerk, or, you know, not being loving and supportive and things. That's when we know it's time to get away. But it's not that when God is doing work. Locating the rest then is in Jesus. That's the second asterisk. Number two, locating the rest. So we have to, that's our problem. Which is it? Do I need to get away from this? Am I suffering from it? Or do I need to be in Jesus in this moment, going through this pressure? Fill in your own pressure. You all have them. We all have a unique and different set of pressures and influences. Maybe we need some softer words. I don't know. So how do we enter into that in Jesus part? And so many of you, most of you, I would say, have entered into this. Romans 5, 1 and 2 puts it this way, as Paul writes, "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand." This is the grace of resting in Jesus when things are tough, but we're not supposed to get away from them. "And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God." So a couple things to point out. First of all, through whom we have gained access by faith, that is trusting. That is, we believe who Jesus is. We've received his sacrifice in our place on the cross. Easter's just 5 weeks from today, is that right? And we're going to celebrate that like mad, but we celebrate it every week. I hope you celebrate it. I celebrate it every day. And I have trust that he's leading me, and I have a submission and a surrender to that leadership. And that's how we get in touch with the Jesus who we need to be in when the thing that is causing us pressure is not something to rest from, but to learn from and grow in and be changed, be matured. All the writers agree with this, that we are matured when that happens. And the second thing in this section of Scripture, Romans 5, 1 and 2, is this word justified. That's a church word. Most of us know it if we've hung around. But again, it's not common in culture in this context. So a simple definition, when you're justified through faith, it means you're declared righteous by putting my life into Jesus' hands and following him. He looks at me as being righteous, even though sometimes I can do unrighteous things. And we might say it this way, I can commit a sin, but he still looks on me as holy because of Jesus. That is, when I'm living in that place, I have access to the rest I need in something instead of the escape I need in the rest when I need to get away from that same thing. It's quite a quandary, or it can be. The Message version of that verse, which I don't think is on the screen or in your notes, but I put it in mine, this same Romans 5, 1 and 2, goes like this: by entering through faith into what God has always wanted to do for us, set us right with him, make us fit for him, we have it all together with God because of our Master Jesus. And that's not all. We throw open our doors to God and discover at the same moment that He has already thrown open His door to us. We find ourselves standing where we always hoped we might stand, out in the wide open spaces of God's grace and glory, standing tall and shouting our praise. Well, there's a lot more words. You can find the Message version online real quick. So that's just Romans 5, 1 and 2, the Message version. You want to go back and read it. It's quite, there's lots in there to think about. Again, that's a paraphrase. This is not meant to be a study of serious scripture and theology, but it's helpful. It's devotional. It's inspirational. It can help us to grab a hold of what sometimes our concepts become a little cold or rehearsed, maybe say it that way. So you'll see some scripture on your handout and up on the screen that help us remember how trustworthy He is, because this is the key of staying in the pressure that meant to transform instead of stopping and resting because you can't take it anymore and you shouldn't take it anymore. That's what we talked about last week. I have just three different passages. Psalm 31, 14 and 15, "But I trust in You, O Lord, I say, You are my God, my times are in Your hands." In the last 2 months, you've heard me at least one time speak it from up here, because that's one of the things I pray in the middle of the night, this very couple verses, because it's my times, it's what's going on around me, it's the swirl of circumstances. Well, guess what? This reminds us that my times, it's not my time, it's my times, the times I live in, the things that are going on around me, they're in His hands, His loving hands, His strong hands, His capable hands. And then Vicki introduced us into Psalm 139, verse 16, "You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in Your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed." What does this tell us about the trustworthiness of our Savior? Not only are our times in His hands, so that's a little more separated, like that's Him above, and I've got all your times, I know what's going on. This is personal. My life, He said, the psalmist said, "You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in Your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed." That, and who lays it out? God didn't just come across the story of your life, and He laid it out. He knows the day. He knows the pressure you're in. He knows when, I was joking with the guys at Bell Tire yesterday. I put some tires on the back of Diana's car, and just the day before, it started to roar, and I looked underneath, and I told the guy my exhaust pipe and my muffler got divorced yesterday. They rusted out, you know. My times, God knows that's going to happen. And I've gone through a progression. This is a sidebar. Maybe it'd be helpful in your progress. Where I would say, God, You knew about this. Why did You let this happen? And if you're there, that's okay. That's part of the progression. And now I get to the place where I go, what do I do now? Lord, what do I do now? Because You know this was going to happen. So where are the resources to get a muffler? It's $114. Don't give me any money. I'm not asking for money. I had it in an account. You see, he's ready for that. So when I'm in pressure and I think I need to rest, I need to really prayerfully consider, because He knows this time. And maybe it's my perseverance. Maybe it's my endurance. Maybe it's those things that Peter listed of self-control and perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, you know those things. And then Romans 8:28 from the New Testament, Paul writing, "And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to His purpose for them." Everything works together. Not everything's good. That's an important distinction. Not everything's good, but God works everything together to benefit those who are following Him. Following Him. So trust who He is. Trust what He knows. Trust what He is doing. Because you've placed your trust in Him, your faith in Him, accepting Him. So that's assuming you've done that. So there's always that moment at some point in the service where I challenge anyone who is listening, whether it's in here or online right now as the service is going on, or somebody who scrolls by some other time in 10 years, somebody might run across it, who knows. Have you relinquished your life to Jesus in that way? He doesn't take your life and make you a nobody and cover you up and take away your personality. Jesus makes you, frees you to be able to be what you were created to be in the first place. And life is a process of discovering as we continue to listen to the Spirit saying, here's something you haven't really fully surrendered. If you've never said, Jesus, I'm going to start following you today, I accept that you paid the penalty for the sin I committed, both in deed and in the nature I have to want to do my thing, not God's thing. Do that. Just do that. It's simple. You pray it in your own words. No form prayer will make it happen for you. It will be your heart wanting to be united with Jesus. And don't worry about what you don't understand about it. He'll take you by the hand when you do that, and he'll lead you into what you need to know at the pace you need to know it. Okay, so we have this issue where the things we need rest from, sometimes urgent rest, a break, and a recovery, are the same kinds of things that God can use and does at the right time to shape us into what he originally created us to be, but is damaged by the fractured state of the world we're in. Our fault. And we need to locate in that moment. So this is, we're talking about, you're in the moment. There's pressure at work. There's pressure with your spouse. The doctor just called. Your car broke down. Just so many different things it can be, and you have a choice. I need to get out of here, or I need to stick in here because God is doing something. And so we locate that it's not about our function falling, our attitude atrophy, our witness withers, all of those things coming, and we just are being bad and we need a break. It's like, okay, this is a rest in Jesus moment. That's just kind of getting to a point. So number three in your handout is seizing the rest. How do I seize this rest in Jesus? Because it is not easy under pressure. And our culture, our whole direction of our culture, goes to the side of, as soon as you can get out of anything that's not perfect, get out. Feel a headache? Pop the Ibis. I love them. They're my drug of choice when I have pain, ibuprofen. You can have too much of that too. It's aided by the way our culture works. If I want hot food fast, now we have microwaves. Now for many decades, now I can just hit the button. I still remember when I was a kid and then things had to boil and they had to bake and it took forever. And we've conditioned ourselves, and that's part of the problem with the human condition, is trying to make everything the easiest for us when we understand easy is what got us into this mess in the first place. And sometimes getting out is not easy. But here we come back to the verse, the section in Matthew chapter 11 that we started out with. It's been everyone. I don't know if I read it last week, but it's this whole idea has been circulating in this time we've talked about rest. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I don't know if you remember, the first week I said, what is the deal? He says, come and rest, but put on a yoke. And I was delighted to discover, as I was putting this one together, his yoke is accepting that I need transformation. And the process he's using to make that happen in my life is going to be uncomfortable. But it is easier and lighter than surrendering to the way the world wants me to do, because that damages me every single time. We can't tell how right off the bat, but it comes out later in broken relationships and all sorts of trouble. This transformational pressure, at least that's how I'm thinking of it, is this yoke where how do I seize it? I come to him with it. I need to come to him specifically with the things where I'm going. It's an ongoing exercise to bring to the one who has justified me, the one who, because of him, I'm declared righteous. I bring this pressure to him. I let him lead me. Galatians 6:9 says, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Reaping a harvest means an increase. And think about the increase of a harvest. It mentions it somewhere else in Scripture where what the harvest is when you plant one seed and what it sprouts in. Just put a seed of one kernel of corn. If you get a corn stalk with three cobs on it, how many kernels do you get out of that? That's exponential. I believe that's a principle in the kingdom, that when we don't get weary and take rest at the wrong time, but we pray into, Lord, is this a transforming time? There is a harvest, not just an addition, not just a, whoo, I made it, which is what you might feel when you get through a time like that. But what God does in the harvest of your character and perseverance and endurance and leading to joy, and don't forget, it's leading to joy. At least I haven't experienced the instant joy. Usually it's like, whoo. And then joy comes as I am faced with another situation and I go, wait a minute, I've been here before. God was here with me before. God did this before. Whew, I can do this. So I wrote this down because this is how I talk. When I'm in trouble and I'm praying over that trouble, I say, bring it, God. This is uncomfortable, and I wish I didn't have to go through this, but if this is what you're doing, bring it. And part of me thought, yeah, just tell everybody that you need to say, bring it. But then I thought of Jesus facing the most pressure he faced. This was this morning in prayer when God spoke to me and said, you know, you need to read this verse and remind everybody of the process. The Holy of Holies, Jesus the Son, the Lamb that takes away the sin of the world, some of our titles in Christianese that we talk about who Jesus is as our Savior, came to the place where he was under most pressure, and he would only become all he was intended to become by going through something that was something we never have to face. Praise the Lord. Jesus didn't go to the garden before he was crucified and say, bring it! He said, my Father, if it is possible, may this cup, this pressure, this hard thing be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will. So I recommend this. When you're in the midst of that thing going on and you're wondering whether you need to get away from it or you need to stand firm, that's magic, and be formed by it, pray this same prayer. Lord, isn't this beautiful? Because Jesus prayed it. It gives us such freedom to say, I don't want to go through this, but if it's your will, bring it. Then you can say, bring it. And God will lead you to the place where he will do the work in you. Okay, so there's one more actual Sunday in this series. We're going to celebrate next week, full rest. But I want to review where we've been. Week one, we talked about rest being a blessing in creation, celebrating that God had finished his 6 days, and Adam and Eve were included in that 7-day rest of celebrating that. It became a need when sin entered the world, a need to recharge, to get separated, to, you know, really rest and be reinvigorated. Week two, we talked about being in the realm of rest, which means you're going to find it in the kingdom of God. You're not going to find it in the kingdom of men. We don't chase after God thinking we can earn it. He has provided freely through Christ, free in the sense that we come to him, but also that we are changing as we come to him, or when we come to him, he begins to change. That's the only place you find it. We talked about the rhythm of rest in week three, where we need to have a Sabbath, not attached to specifically Sunday and the worship that we've combined. There's no problem with you having this day as a Sabbath, but you need a break from the normal 1 day out of 7. Last week we talked about knowing when to rest, and today we were talking about knowing when, the difference between when to rest and get away and when to persevere through it. So how can this work out? I mean, this would work out in so many ways. My personal example is in the office, Monday through Thursday morning, I have a schedule. So I know my normal kind of flow, and I schedule an hour. The first hour of my office time is getting ready for today. That's a base. And I have two instrumental pieces that are just an hour long, so I don't have to look at a clock. When it stops playing, I know I've been at it an hour. But sometimes I'm in the middle of God doing something and working through, and it's weird. I don't know if you've ever prepared things like that, a speech or a, I don't know what else to compare it to, because it's a, there's a spiritual component to this, you know, public giving out of it, but that you have to, you know, think through it. You have to have the Spirit show you a way, and sometimes you get up against a hard spot, and there are times when at the hour I could easily say, oh, my hour's up, I'm getting out of here. That means move on to another thing. That doesn't mean I work an hour every day and go home. That's not what that means. Or I can say, wait a minute, God is causing me to work hard through this spot so I can come to a complete and full understanding that I can own for myself. And then I stick with it longer. That's how it works with me with work, because that's what I call work. It's the best job in the world. It's the hardest job I've ever had, but it's the best job in the world. How that works in relationships. You're struggling with someone. Maybe it's your spouse. Maybe it's your children. Maybe it's somebody else, a work associate, or who knows who else. And they're being ridiculous and hard-headed, and you just feel like, and culture tells you they're toxic, label them and get away from them. That's kind of a form of cancel culture, maybe. But anyway, you feel like you need a rest. But when I pray, perhaps, Lord, I don't want to go round and round with this bonehead again, but what are you doing? What is your will? And it might be that he's saying to you, you're there as a witness to that person. Be kind. Stay with it. So I can't call that out for you. God will be faithful when you ask him, Lord, what's going on? Is this my rest time or is this my... And don't forget your champions. You remember your champions from last week? One of the ways that we will know when to get rest and know when to get back into the game, and there are a couple other things associated with that, is that you have champions in your life who have permission to talk to you. Don't forget in a moment like that to have a champion you can communicate with and say, hey, I don't know whether I need to rest or persevere. Pray for me. I've told you guys many times, the regulars here, about our No Excuses men's group up in Gaylord and our text group. And what a blessing it was. It didn't matter what time, 3 in the morning, noon, and somebody would text, pray for me, sometimes with no information, sometimes with a little, I'm going through something. And God responds to that. And we certainly need to know when to rest, because if we waste our rest, if we rest when he intends us to be shaped, or we stick with it when he intends us to rest, guess what we miss out on every time? Rest. There's no rest when you rest at the wrong time. You're burdening yourselves in a place where you don't need to be burdened. So, what is your need? At the bottom of the sheet, and on the sign, there's just one line, I think, or one item, my need. I've had several needs. So that means, in order to put this into practice, I believe probably everyone is facing some pressure item right now. And it's either you're contemplating whether you need to get away from it for a rest, or you need to know if God's doing something. I'm bring this to him. Bring this to him. There's the amount or the element of mystery will never be away until we see Jesus face to face. But he will act every time when you're honest to him. So I would also ask this, what do you need to surrender? Because this ability to determine whether I need to get away from something to rest or rest in Jesus while he's working in me gets more, I don't want to say easier, but it gets normal as you surrender more and more to him. And when you surrender areas, people, jobs, I mean, honestly, if you just have a job that you sit around going, I hate every aspect of this job. That's trouble, man. This worked for me when I worked at TubeFab. And I hated it for a little while until I prayed this prayer and God gave me a joy in it. Whew. That's powerful. That's what he's able to do. Wherever you are, he's able to do. Our ultimate goal is to surrender those things to Jesus. And I would say, surrender them. You need to say it out to them. Maybe that's something you need to tell one of your champions that you're doing. Because God intends for us to find rest now and some better rest, some full rest. After a while, we don't know how long. We're going to celebrate that, though we'll review that next week. So let's stand and pray together and contemplate these things. Move on them. Don't wait if the Holy Spirit is saying, yeah, you got something to surrender right now. Or anyone listening who hasn't made that step to come into God's rest now through Jesus. This is the day to do it. Let's pray. Lord, thank you that though there's much to do, as you said yourself, the fields are white unto harvest. People who need to come into the kingdom and pray for laborers and this whole concept of busy and active and profitable and you know, the kingdom is being built and there's a lot of effort that you have ordained rest for us. You have commanded us to come to you for rest. And I thank you, Lord, that you're able to discern for us when we submit ourselves to you those times, whether it is a 1 out of 7 Sabbath rest that we take a break and celebrate and rest and be recharged. Or in the moment that we've been talking about for a couple of weeks, that's either it's time to get away, you will care for us in the break, everything will be fine when we take a break when it's the right time because you're in charge of that. Or when we need to stick to it and persevere and know, Lord, just like you went through a whole childhood and you came to be an adult and you walked as an adult and then you walked to the cross, you in that sense modeled this formation in us and call us to it and remind us that you're with us in it. You will not abandon us. We'll grow and find joy as we bring these things to you. So Lord, overcome our human limitations here in our minds and what we know and how we think, and help us to enter into the mystery of the care of you, the love of you, and lead us to bring everything to you so we can rest, so we don't carry burdens not intended for us. Rest killers, sin, wrongdoing. Lord, help us, I pray. And Lord, move us into our champion connections that we might be here for one another so that we take full advantage of all you offer us in the kingdom, including rest. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.